Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast live stream, episode 485. My name is William Kuntz, and with me is Anna Hummel. Oh, wait, hold on. Now she's here. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, pleasure. The pleasure is mine. I was a little worried initially because you popped in. And I will say this, on time at like 4:29.
Yeah. It was 4:29.
4:29. Anna was ready to go. Unfortunately, I pulled up her screen here in the StreamYard application, and it was just a gray box. There was no camera working. So she tried to do some doodling around, fiddling around, wasn't able to figure out a solution. Luckily, me, IT guy, figured out the solution, which was what, Anna?
Restart your computer.
Restart the computer. That's all you got to do. 90%
of the time, every time.
Every dang time. That's usually what it is. If something's not working on your computer, try shutting her down, giving her a little rebooterooski, and bam, you're back in biz.
You're right.
You're right. I sure am. This is episode 45. I don't know if I said that already. If you're listening later on, you should know that we do a live stream on Wednesdays, approximately between the hours of 4 to 5 p.m. And if you're listening right now on live stream, you know that. So thank you. Make sure you get the podcast, HMB Radio, all one word, on podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. It's everywhere. And Radio St. Pete, it airs at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings, 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. So that's nice. Beezer, he says, hey, hello to you.
What's up?
What's up? I'm doing the fast again, Anna, this week. 2 weeks
in
a row.
Oh my God. How did, I did not follow up with you at all. So this is all new to me. How did it go last week when you did a 36 hour fast?
I mean, it went, I did it. I completed it. I didn't cheat.
How do you feel? Tell me everything. Not just that it got done, but I need you to walk me through the mental, physical, emotional processes.
It was just, hunger at periods of the day, which I'm having, I'm pretty much hungry all the time. So it really wasn't that crazy, to be honest. I did get some body buzzes going on, like if you smoke pot or something, then you get the body highs. I kind of got that around 3 o'clock. I had today, because I'm doing it all over again, right around then, 2, 3 o'clock, I started to get like a little bit of a headache, but that passed. Maybe it's the coffee. I did have another black coffee here. So maybe that helped. I don't know. I heard caffeine works for headaches, so potentially that's it.
But it's also a good appetite suppressant, so it helps. I use it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So I'm going to try to continue this for a month and see what happens. Once a week for a month. And again, I did not weigh myself. Forgot to weigh myself last week, and then I also forgot to weigh myself this week.
Now, tell me this, because I think that this is very important. How did you break your fast? What was the first thing that you consumed? Because I think that this is very important and where a lot of people get it wrong. So what did you consume?
Last week when I woke up in the morning, it was about 8:30 before I got moving and on my feet enough to, I don't know, do anything really. I made a protein shake and I had a peach, the fruit.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? I feel like something's wrong with that.
Nothing is wrong with that, I don't think. I've really only done one significantly long fast. Mm-hmm. And by significantly long, like let's say over 30 hours. So one 45-hour fast. And when I started eating, I started getting like pretty bad stomach cramps. And it wasn't great, but I feel like the best thing to eat, and I have no data or evidence to support this or back it up or anything, but I feel like the first thing you probably want to start with is something that has a lot of protein.
Yeah, protein shake.
Protein, right, right. And I also, again, once you have the protein, I feel like you're pretty good to go, but like I'm kind of glad you did it in that order and not the reverse order, because I feel like if you have something that has like a lot of acid, like, I feel like if you broke the fast with an orange, that would be a serious mistake. Mm. Like, I feel like that would mess your stomach up. So I was just kind of curious to see. Now, how did you feel when you had food? Did you feel it made you more hungry? Did you feel satiated? Did you feel relieved? What were you experiencing?
So I was worried that it was going to be a scenario where once I got the taste of something, that I was just going to be like, oh God, now it's time to go. And then my body would just freak out and go into severe. What's the opposite of purge?
Binge.
Yeah, I guess binge? A binge. That's what I was afraid of. But actually I just was aware of that. Like, if you're still hungry, just wait a little bit. And after I had the peach and the protein shake, I went out and did my morning routine, my run and stuff like that. And then I came back and I had some like keto cereal. Mm-hmm. When I got back, and it was pretty much just like a normal, how I'd normally eat, and I was okay. Feel it yesterday. I was kind of like, ooh, I need to get prepared for a day without. So I feel like I ate a little more than I usually would yesterday.
That's okay.
Is it? I don't think it's okay.
I think it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Again, what you're really looking for, at least in my book, yeah, it's calories in, calories out. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people like to be like, but there is data to suggest that it's also calories stored, and that depends on your hormones. So, you know, if you consume the same amount of calories in the sky, do you know who Brian Johnson is? He's like a redheaded freak. He's a ginger freak. He's one of those billionaire tech guys who I guess was, I'm making this up. I don't know if he was a venture capitalist. I don't know if he started his own company, but now he's in the biohacking space and he is on a mission. He looks kind of like a robot on a mission to be in perfect health. Mm. And he was talking about how when his body fat got too low, like it got in the threes, like it was 3 point something. And so he decided to go back up to 5 something. And he was asked, now again, everything is completely monitored, right? From how much he's consuming, to how much he's burning, to his basal metabolic rate, all that sort of stuff. He said he consumed the same amount of calories, but widened the feeding window and he put on 2% more fat, which was good for his health. Now he's at like 5.1. And they're like, oh, so did you eat more? He said, no. I just widened the window. I waited a couple hours and then ate again versus having like one giant meal. Mm. And that caused his body to store more fat because he was experiencing more insulin. And if you have more insulin in your body, it's a hormone that tells your body to store energy, store fat. Basically, long story short, it is calories in, calories out, but it's also your feeding window. So if you can just fast for longer, you will be in fat burning more mode for longer.
So I wonder what the, you know, and I feel like we're talking about the same stuff again. I hope this isn't boring, but I do have a question for you. Maybe, you know, 36 hours is this fast, and why is it 36? Why not 48?
You're asking me?
Yeah. I thought maybe you would know. Maybe you don't
like
know.
This monk fast.
Yeah.
Again, it depends like who you ask about what, you know. A lot of times they say, oh, at 14 hours, that's when you go into fat burning mode, or at 16 hours, that's when you go into fat burning mode, or at 72 hours, that's when the immune system reboots itself. And, you know, at 48 hours, this happens. And so honestly, if you have fat to burn, I'm all in favor of going, I don't want to say as long as you can, but going to a point where it's somewhat sometimes uncomfortable.
Yeah. But I mean, like, could you do 72? I mean, I guess you could do whatever you want, but I thought maybe there was some sort of science behind the number 36.
And I'm sure that there is, but it depends on what studies you're looking at. So I don't know. There's not like a definitive number, like at 36 hours, the dopamine reward cycle reboots itself. Or I've heard people say, you know, the immune system reboots itself. Seems to be that the longer you go, the better it is for you until you hit it. And I don't even want to say until, because it depends on your body. You know, the longest monitored fast was over 300 days. Yeah. And all the guys, again, he was morbidly overweight, but he was being monitored by doctors on electrolytes, salts, magnesium, things like that. But other than that, he was consuming zero food. And over the 300 days, all of his biomarkers were improving. So, you know, could I do that? No, I would be dead. So it depends on the person, obviously, and yeah, how much fat you have to work with. Because if you got a lot of fat on your body, you're like, this is energy. This is literally petroleum. This is fossil fuel. Okay. This is stuff that when it's burned, it gives you energy. So the fatter you are, you know, the more energy essentially you have to burn.
So Kelly said when we were doing this last week, because Johnny lost 8 pounds in one day. Well, 36 hours.
Water.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
It's water. I mean, I don't know how much fat you can really lose in one day. You know, I mean, do it for the fat burning, but also do it for the autophagy to kind of restore and kill dead cells and cause other ones to regenerate and get better. I would definitely look into autophagy. That's a big thing. And that's why fasting has really gained a lot of popularity. That, and like, I'm sure you heard of like cryotherapy, the ice baths, saunas, all that sort of stuff induces autophagy. And that's really the main
goal. What's autophagy?
Yeah, autophagy.
What is that?
Oh, it essentially means, I think, like in Latin, like cell consume, self consume. Basically, cells that aren't working so well, that have like mitochondria and organelles that aren't working so well, they basically self delete, which allows more energy to be put towards regenerating, rejuvenating, and causing newer cells to work that are more efficient, and causes all the old, bad, like crusty cells to just essentially die and be consumed by other cells. It's a pretty interesting process.
Mm, okay.
I have a pretty rudimentary understanding of it, but autophagy is really the goal. Now that you're, if you start listening to like the health space, longevity space, fasting space, you're going to hear that word pop up a lot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll look into that. So, yeah, this is my second week and, you know, so far so good. I'm hungry, but whatever. What about this, Anna? Working out bad for you. This one says, this is from Zero Hedge. While things such as daylight savings time, skipping breakfast, skyrocketing energy bills, and making the bed too vigorously have been floated as causes for heart attack and strokes and totally nothing else, they mentioned, a little tongue-in-cheek
there.
Is that
white Lizzo? Oh, it's brown Lizzo. Perfect. Okay.
You can add exercising too hard to the list. According to a new study in the physics of fluid, whatever the hell that is, researchers concluded that an elevated heart rate can cause strokes in people with blocked arteries, which occurs. Right.
So yeah, if you're wildly already unhealthy and then you decide to try to run a marathon, you might die. Yeah, that could happen.
It could. It's so interesting, the push to, you know, kind of stigmatize.
They want us fat and lazy, and they want us dead, clearly.
Yeah. Well, it definitely seems that way. I mean, I'm not even kidding. It sort of seems like they want us. And, you know, the grand conspiracy is that it's some sort of like population control type of thing. Like, yeah, just go ahead and get fat, eat whatever you want.
On every measure of any developed country, any first world country, the fertility rates are so low. It's literally getting inverted. You know, this whole like, oh, we're overpopulated, that's all a farce. If you look at like the demographics of the US, China, Korea, Japan, Russia, not saying these are all first world, but you understand what I'm saying. Europe in general, like all of these places, the fertility rates are dropping tremendously. It's a huge problem, especially for places like China, Korea, and Japan. I would love to see, Will, who sponsored this study, who funded this study. Is it Coca-Cola? Is it Pfizer? Is it, you know, who wanted people to stay fat? I would like to know. I think it's probably a big pharma deal.
let's look up what physics of the fluid is, because that just sounds weird. Let's see here. Let's look it up. Physics of Fluid, AIP, monthly peer-reviewed scientific journal covering fluid dynamics. Okay. Established by the American Institute of Physics in 1958 and published by AIP Publishing. That's what the Wikipedia says here. Here, I'll share this tab instead. What would they have to do with strokes? I guess fluid, blood being a fluid. Is that the connection there?
And how it flows through the body? It could just be the name of the journal. I'm not quite sure. If there's any way we could see who funded that particular study, I'd be curious to know. Because also, like, it's also clickbaity, because look at the population of people that they were examining. It said people that already had, what was it, blocked arteries or something?
Yes. People were already unhealthy that were probably on their way out anyway.
Right. So it's like people who were going to have a stroke anyways, and heavy exercise, like making the bed, ended up killing them. They were going to die anyways from whatever sort of, you know, condition they had. So.
Well, all of these institutions too, from, they're all corrupted. They're all corrupted by ideology. Every university, everywhere, even places like this are totally inundated with, you know, whatever ideology is going on right now.
Yeah, and it is really hard, because, you know, it's easy for people like you and me to be just like, well, go educate yourself. You know, and especially to people who don't know anything about literally anything, like whether it be politics, history, health, whatever. You're like, just go educate yourself. And then you do, and you're like, oh, I should be a vegan. I should be keto. I should be a carnivore. I should be a vegetarian. I should be Atkins. I should be, you know, all plant-based. And then you walk away more confused than when you went in, going, what the hell am I supposed to be doing? So, you know, I tell people to do as much research as they can, and then you kind of just start trying things on yourself. See what works for you. So.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when science, when you go to look stuff up, and then, you know, definitions of words are changed, and yeah. There's other, you know, you could just tell, like, oh, if you eat meat, it's racist. Like, that type of stuff, yeah. Where you just go, oh, and this is from a credentialed, you know, place. So they mm-hmm. must be right, but they're not right. And it's quite clear that they're not right. And if you have a brain, it's not right. I mean, saying that you shouldn't exercise because you're too fat, well, what's the alternative? You're just going to get fatter, and then your arteries are going to get more clogged, and then you're going to die. So what's the point here? What is the point of...
They want you dead.
That's what I'm saying. And that's where you go down the... You know, I know that, like you were saying earlier, that we're not overpopulated or whatever, but it seems like they want us dead.
You know what? Well, I take that back. They don't want us dead. I'm being a little melodramatic. They want you dependent on them. And by them, I mean whoever is sponsoring the study. I think it's probably some big pharma, like, hey, you don't need to be exercising. You should be on metformin for the rest of your life. You should be on blood thinners for the rest of your life. You should be on whatever, insulin for the rest of your life. You don't need to take any action on behalf of yourself. We are your daddy. Let Big Pharma help you. So stop exercising, because if you exercise, you might kill yourself. Now imagine some fat person who doesn't want to exercise to begin with, read that article, and they go, there it is. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be exercising. Give me the drugs, doc. So that's exactly what they want.
Well, that's true. And maybe it's both. Maybe it's one of those things. Well, if you die good, then there's less, you know, people here. Or like you said, that we can get you, because obviously being fat is unhealthy for you and is going to cause you to have medical conditions. The healthy at any size, movement, I guess, or lack thereof, is... like, there's just things that you just know are not, like, you don't have to be a doctor to go, that's insane. If you don't exercise and you don't eat right, you're going to not be healthy. Well, my doctor says I'm healthy. First of all, I don't believe you, number one. But, as you know, with these corruption of these institutions, probably their doctors are starting to say, yeah, you're healthy, even though you're you're a big fatso, and we can just give you this medicine to balance it out, and you'll be okay. Just do whatever you want, consume, do whatever you want. So maybe it's like a win-win scenario for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's kind of just like, I have my conclusion. My conclusion is I do not want to be an active person ever and do anything. And now when I have a study telling me that I'm correct, then that's the one I'm going to listen to.
Yeah.
Well, and I, you know what? Good for them. Like, I don't really care. The great thing about fat people for big pharma and other companies is that they don't just die right away. You know, they're a cash cow, literally. So they keep making money off of them, and they live, you know, horribly restricted lives because they have limited mobility. You know, they have PCOS that you need drugs for that. You have diabetes, they need drugs for that. You have high blood pressure, you need drugs for that. Like, hypertension, there's drugs for that. Like, they want you to live as long as possible with as many problems as possible. I would say that's the goal. And if you happen to die, well, you know, we have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of propaganda, or whatever you want to call it, data, maybe, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, that we have a climate change. I think that might be a hot, I hope we don't get kicked. I'm afraid of getting kicked off anywhere, because of human action on the planet. And we need less of that. We need less carbon. I mean, human beings are literally carbon. So that would be a good way to get rid of some of the carbon. So I don't know. There's a lot of that just kind of feels like one of those things where, yeah, if you're around, at least we can have you dependent, and you can kind of be a source of income for the people who are saying that you're a problem. And, or, you know, eventually too, even if you're hooked on these products, eventually you're probably your lifespan. In fact, I think I saw that lifespans are down for the first time in 100 years or something. This is the first one we're not living longer than our parents. I don't know if it's a millennial generation or Generation X, but it's going down now. And what's that from? I mean, it's probably a lot of different factors, but, something
that is odd though, that the more we're learning and advancing and doing all this crazy stuff with satellite technology and telescopes and cell phones and more connected and, you know, vaccines and all these sorts of stuff, but we can't seem to figure out how to get less fat. And more research is done on health every year, and for some, and more money's being thrown at it. But for some reason, we just keep getting fatter. We just can't quite crack the code. Well, it's because the system is rigged and wants you to fail. So you have to kind of take it. I never thought that, like, health, like, and I'm sure you've noticed this too. You notice people who are like in the health space, and they all seem like they're like taking care of your body is like now like a right wing trope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, sure. Like, taking care of your health. It used to be like a left wing, like, ooh, eating healthy, eating plants. What a hippie. Now it's like, wow, what a Nazi trying to take care of yourself and, you know, getting zone 2-3 times a week. Like, what a right wing bastard. You know, like.
Well, look at this. Let's see right there. Add to stream. Fascist fitness. How far right is recruiting an online gym group?
Stepping is good for your heart.
Yeah. So the far right is increasingly recruiting via online fitness groups whose popularity soared during the pandemic, prompting fears that new members are being radicalized to commit acts of violence.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, I don't know how we got there, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, sharing your point here that there's a. The far right's obsession with fitness is going digital. This is Twitter. Let's see who this is. MSNBC. There you go.
I've never met a person who was very into fitness and building their body and who was left wing. I've never met one.
Well, there's
a lot of people in the fitness space, and none of them, like, not the ones who like do yoga and like once a week and but still eat donuts for breakfast. Not those people. I mean, the people who are actually serious about building their bodies and maintaining like actual internal health, none of those people are left wing. Mm-hmm. Zero.
Well, that's odd. And I guess MSNBC and The Guardian have noticed that too. And it's become an issue. But I feel like you're right. Like, there was like, usually the crunchy, you know, vegan types tend to be more on the left side of the spectrum. And I don't know, I guess, I don't know if I would consider weightlifting. And well, I never thought it was political, but I guess everything's political now. I guess if I were to say like weightlifting, getting jacked is kind of like a, I guess, a right leaning thing.
Well, let me tell you, it's not because weightlifting is inherently political. That's not it. It's
everything's
that
political.
Values that both people who work out and people on the right share, which is you are not a victim. You are in control and you have agency. Those ideas are now right wing tropes, tenets, whatever you want to call it. People who think that they have control over their lives that aren't waiting and depending on other people to save them, those people tend to be right wing. And so people who, especially people into bodybuilding or not even bodybuilding in the competitive sense, but bodybuilding, like building their bodies, like going to the gym, seeing improvement, people who are into that weren't born that way. Many of them were scrawny. Many of them were fat. And so now that they've changed their bodies and they realize they're not a victim and that they have agency, that is something that aligns with the right, because the right is kind of the lift yourself up by your bootstraps. You're not a victim of the system. And even if you were, it doesn't matter, because all you have to worry about is how are you going to get yourself out of a bad situation? How are you going to move forward? How are you going to improve? And it seems like right-wing people and people who are also, you know, gym rats, that's kind of where they converge. Is that they're not victims and that they have agency and they can control their destiny.
Well, I guess it's kind of like, you know, to connect it to what we were talking about before, it's like self-control and, you know, not being dependent on anybody, having control of your own body and not being dependent on anybody else. That's
no one's gonna save you, that kind of mentality.
Well, it's just weird how the extremes. It's like on the other side, it's like, just eat whatever you want. Be a fatso. And, you know, you're healthy no matter what. Just do you. Don't, you know, these standards are fascist. And it's just like, it's the complete wrong way of doing things. Like, we have no agreement on anything. In fact, it's the complete opposite. Like, there's one set of values and then nope, it's a complete opposite on the other side of the spectrum, yeah, which is the right
way. It's odd that this is politicized, this self-improvement. Right. So that's kind of like the right wing. Like, how do I improve myself? How do I get better versus self-acceptance or self like love, which is no, you don't need to change. Literally everyone around you needs to change how they feel about you. So it seems like, okay, so you're going to put all your energy in trying to mold and bend society and make people think you're attractive and make people respect you more. But you want to put in all that work into other people's perspective of you versus just changing yourself. Mm. And that's the difference, is that, oh no, people need to accept me for who I am. It's like, no, actually.
But it's so, I mean, don't you think it's strange that we have no shared values anymore? Like, there are two sects of folk living in the country now, at least. I'm sure there's more, but at least what's kind of in the mainstream, it's like, you're either this or you that. It's a binary. So you're Lizzo, and you vote for Joe Biden, and you share, you know, Lizzo's body type and her ideology of just eat whatever you want and be free. Or if you do some curls, you're going to vote for Donald Trump. And if you diet or do, you know, try to take care of yourself. It's just bizarre, because there was a shared value system a few years ago, at least, I don't know, a decade ago, of, yeah, you should be healthy. You should eat, you know, well and try to be healthy. And that's a shared value that we all have as, I mean, I was going to say Americans, but I think even the world would kind of agree with that. And now it's like, no, actually, it's a complete opposite of that. And if you think the other way, then you are an enemy and you need to be silenced and maybe destroyed at some point down the line.
Yeah. What was interesting over the last couple of years with like COVID and the was that the extremes started to converge.
Yeah. And they still do.
I think I told you about my friend who is in Canada, very liberal girl, but very crunchy granola, natural homeopathic sort of stuff. Well, guess what? She didn't want to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. She was afraid because she's like, I don't know. I don't like putting things in my body. I like natural stuff. But she was a liberal. And then she was like, the only people that agreed with me were people who thought it was a conspiracy. So yeah, she was like kind of at this crossroads where she's like, well, I'm not a conservative or right wing at all. But also I'm so crunchy granola that I don't want to put, I don't know. Not that she doesn't believe in vaccines, but she's like, she doesn't want to put anything in her body. At all. She doesn't even take like Advil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of strange.
Well, yeah. But now you see the convergence because of, especially with the rise of Robert Kennedy as a presidential candidate, who's been very outspoken about the shots and other, you know, so,
now look, the CIA killed his uncle.
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, like he's pretty far out there. With some of this stuff, but you're finding people being like, okay, good. I can actually kind of say this stuff like your friend, out in public now, because he's kind of that way. And it's that horseshoe thing that you were talking about where there's some common ground there. And he's, you know, how the regime is going to confront that kind of narrative now that, you know, somebody with a D next to their name is saying this stuff, and he's doing pretty well in polling, you know, sort of right now, but he's getting a lot of attention. He's going on all these podcasts and, people are saying that he needs to be, you know, he went on a news, I guess it was NBC or something, and they censored some of his comments because, it was outside of the window, the Overton window of what's allowed. But now they kind of have this common ground, and it's weird. I like the Hollywood thing. Like, remember they had the mandates for a lot of people, but then at the Emmys and the Oscars and stuff, they dropped those. Cause Hollywood's kind of anti-medicine, let's just say, you know what I mean? So now having this weird, you're going to have weird bedfellows that kind of emerge from these figures and how the regime is going to handle, obviously the one side over here, but then you got some people who are kind of outside that Overton window again on the other side, how they're going to handle that and what they're going to do to kind of mitigate that, that risk.
Yeah. That happens to me all the time where, I mean, I really don't share a lot of political values with, you know, extreme leftists, but when it comes to notions of God, the only people that agree with me are communists. So, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't believe in, I'm not an evangelical, but also like I think abortion might be wrong, like if you're asking me, you know, sort of thing. So it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's I guess it's always an interesting time to be alive, but this one is weirder, I think, than probably usual, at least sort of. What about this, Anna? Have you seen let me see, share this tab instead. I'm my own producer here, as we all know. What do you think about the killer whales? Have you even heard anything about this?
I thought, did one attack some trainer recently, or?
Yeah. Can you hear this?
Yes, I can.
They're just like attacking these yachts out in the Mediterranean, I think, Western Europe.
Really?
Yeah, they're attacking boats, and they said they don't know why they're doing it.
I mean, they're probably not happy.
I think they just think there's food.
Attacking
on the boats.
How? Like bumping into it or like trying to come aboard or?
They're ramming the boats.
They're ramming the boats.
Trying to sink it.
Yeah, maybe they smell fish on the boat.
That's what I was thinking. What do you.
You know, they're dolphins, right?
They're just. What do you mean?
Oh,
they're orcas.
No. Oh, no.
What?
It's okay, Will. I found this out a few months ago. It ruined me. Those are not whales. They're dolphins.
What?
Yeah. Look it up. I know it's this killer whale, Will. I know. Peanuts are nuts. The world is not as what it seems. Orcas are dolphins. They're part of the dolphin family. They're the largest dolphins.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't shake me in the way that I thought that it would.
Took me bad.
So they're smart, right? I mean, for animals, they're still stupid animals. But I think that they think that there's food on there, which are probably right. And I think they also know that nobody's going to do anything to them. I think that you need to start fighting back. If a Somali pirate is trying to come aboard your vessel, you take a machine gun, you start blasting them. I think we need to send a message to these animals. Like, we're not going to allow you to sink our boats and kill us.
Are they killing people in the wild or just in captivity?
Well, I think that, I mean, they're trying to sink the boat. I mean, even if they don't mean to kill necessarily, an outcome of that action could be death of the people aboard.
Yeah. I mean, in the game of self-preservation, if you need to blast a few killer whales, fine, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. But also, like, what'd you expect going out on the open seas? You know, it's kind of the name of the game. It's risky.
Yeah. Yeah. I just it's so funny too, hearing people talk about the orcas, how their team orca. Is that what they're called, orcas? I thought orca was a breed, or is that just the dolphin name?
It's just killer whale is like their slave name, and orca is their government name.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they're dolphins. And every time I bring that up, I'm just so embarrassed. I don't know. I feel like I learned it in an embarrassing public way, you know? And they're like, oh, and it was one of those like, oh, you didn't know that? And I'm like, clearly not. I'm shook right now. What do you mean killer whales or dolphins? You know, I was very upset. But
wow. Well, I don't even know. Are they still taking them into SeaWorld? Are they capturing them? Are there any dolphin whales in SeaWorld anymore? Did they watch the documentary? Did they see Blackfish, the documentary, and now they're trying to get their revenge on their human counterparts?
Well, I think a lot of the ones that they have in captivity were born in captivity.
Okay.
So I don't think, I mean, I'm sure they're still taken from the ocean, but a lot of them are just know nothing else but, you know, a giant pool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Yeah, I think it's time to start.
Whatever.
Send a message to the dang whales or dolphins, whatever. We're not going to take this. And if you come aboard our vessel, you know, hang your ass over the edge of the boat, drop a log, you know, show dominance. Isn't that how they do it in nature? You take
it
a,
is, yes.
Dogs mark their territory. Right. Yeah. I mean, be petty, hit them over the head with a big stick, with an oar, whatever you got to do.
Right in your big blowhole, you know, it's right there.
People are, we were talking about this with people over the weekend, and the people cheering on the whale or the orca or the dolphin, whatever, is obnoxious to me. And I go, well, what if you were in that boat? And they went, well, of course not me. But if it's anybody else, I'm team orca.
Yeah, I see that a lot. And especially like with dogs, like, you know, you could have a dog that's like mauling a human, but God forbid you shoot the pit bull. You know, I got in trouble for a lot of things when I worked with you at the Bone. I got a lot of backlash for things, outlandish things I would say. You know, epilepsy is a thing. We remember that.
Oh, yes.
I remember. A few other choice things that upset some people on and off the internet. But one of the biggest reactions I ever got that was completely what I thought I said was not inflammatory at all. I said that pit bulls were an aggressive breed. I don't know if you remember this. It was on Johnny's show. I was like, yeah, it was a pit bull. And before we would read stories where someone would get mauled, and I'd be like, I didn't even read the story. It was a pit bull. And sure enough, we'd read a pit bull mix or pit bull. And I remember people lit me up and like called in and complained. They're like, I have a pit bull. It's the best dog in the world. People get so freaking upset when you start, you know, dogging their animals.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is kind of like a weird sort of thing where I'm like, why are you not team human?
Yeah.
Why are you team dog?
I like the story. Like, remember that the, and maybe it's a cultural thing too, because I mean, I guess here in America, most people are a team killer whale, but they had that shark that ate that tourist in Egypt.
That Russian guy.
Yeah. And the,
that was terrifying.
Was there a video? I didn't see the video. Yes. I don't want to see it. Oh, I don't want to see that.
A woman screaming, his dad is watching him get eaten. His dad was there.
But did you see the reaction? They went, then government officials, I don't know, they claim that it was the shark that that ate the Russian dude, they took it out of the water and they beat it to death. And a lot of people were saying it's pro, like that's what sharks do, which, yeah, but it was, I think Tim Dillon had a, yeah, it was Tim Dillon. He had a good tweet about it. He's like, it wasn't about, you know, the shark. It was about, this whole thing was about power. The shark had it in the water and the people have it outside of the water. And that's what this is really, really about. So they took the shark and beat it to death and people were really upset about that. But
what is that? I mean, what do we... Like, why not just like harpoon it? Like, I don't, why do we have to like,
because it's sending a message. It's sending,
to other sharks.
Like, but, well, yeah, probably not other sharks. I'm sure they don't have the capacity to kind of think about it. But it is like, if, how would you rather them just like euthanize this shark if it ate your loved one, or would you rather see it beat to death just for your own psyche?
I don't think that it would make me feel any better. Like, I wouldn't expect them to go fish out the shark unless they're looking for like evidence or something and kill it. Like, it's a shark. That's what sharks do. And I'm completely divorcing it from any sort of morality. That's how they survive. Like, we're not like, oh, what a mean shark. It ate a seal. It's like, either it eats the seal or it dies.
But a seal's a seal. A person's a person. It has a different thing.
I mean, what I'm saying is like it kills in order to survive. Whether it be a person, a seal, or whatever, another whale, a dolphin, it needs, that's how it lives.
Yeah, so, but human beings, like, eat it. Human beings are top of the food chain. We got here for a reason. And like, I don't think you're going to be able to send the other sharks a message necessarily, but right. You know, maybe necessarily you can. Maybe they'll be able to understand that thing. We don't really know. We don't understand shark consciousness and what it can and can't understand. Maybe they're waiting for their friend and they go, oh, I saw them getting drug out of the water. You beat it to death, you throw it back in the water, and you know, maybe it's a free lunch for them, or maybe it's a message. I don't know.
I don't know much about shark cognitive capabilities, but if I were to venture a guess, it's probably not doing much to send a message to the shark community. But if it, whatever, like, I don't care that much about the shark's life either.
Exactly.
So like,
it's a garbage shark.
Death, like, that seems rude, but you know, whatever. I don't care.
We got to. So I think the only answer is war with the, we can't allow them to keep sinking our boats and trying to kill us. Like, I feel like a shark probably wouldn't understand, but I think a dolphin might. And maybe it's time to send a message to the killer dolphins.
Well, only one way to find out. We should try.
I'm the captain now. You look him right in the eye. You pull that. I'm the captain now. And then you beat him in the head with a stick, break it over his head, and send a message. That's it. We're out of time. Send any complaints to me. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Oh, I love animals. I'm just kidding, but it is a shark. Let's be honest. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you. Go give it 5 stars. Tell a friend about it. Steal your friend's phone. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify on it. And who knows? Maybe they'll check it out. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.